the ambassador to Tripoli in London. Thomas Jefferson said to this ambassador, "Why are you attacking American ships on the Mediterranean? We haven't done anything to you." And the ambassador for Tripoli said, "Because it is based upon the laws of our prophet, as it is written down in the Quran, that we are allowed to attack, take the goods of, and enslave all unbelievers. It is our duty as Muslims, and if we die doing this, we are guaranteed a place in heaven." And I thought, wow, this whole fight we have now with radical Islam is not new. This is an interesting way to bring together what we're facing now with something we faced historically in America's infancy. Thomas Jefferson, actually, when he went to France to become the United States Minister to France, he had bought a first edition copy of Miguel de Cervantes' Don Quixote. And Jefferson was famous for saying that he preferred to read literature in the original language. He spoke and read seven languages, and he actually taught himself Spanish so that on his transatlantic voyage, when he was going over to be minister to France, he could read Don Quixote. And in particular, Jefferson was interested in Don Quixote because Cervantes had spent 5 years in the Muslim dungeons of North Africa. He was very interested in what Cervantes' experience was like because all of Cervantes' work after he left the Muslim dungeons of North Africa harkened back to that. It was so barbaric, the treatment that he underwent there, that that always haunted his writing. And Jefferson thought that by reading Cervantes, he could learn a little bit more about the foe that the United States was facing in the Mediterranean. There is a lot of speculation in the Islamic religion that the Prophet Muhammad was assassinated. And I was also fascinated with this concept that exists in the Islamic religion called abrogation, which developed during Muhammad's career as a prophet, where after several years, he started having followers come to him and say, "Muhammad, you've just given us a revelation that really contradicts with something you gave us before." And Muhammad went away and thought about it and came back and he said, "If I give you something today and it contradicts something from the past, then that means Allah has given you something better and it cancels out that thing from the past. So ignore that thing from the past and pay attention to this." Well, this concept of abrogation is fascinating because it's what the Islamic fundamentalists are using today to justify their violence. They say that the peaceful verses in the Quran, and this is true, most of the peaceful verses come from the beginning of Muhammad's prophethood in Mecca, before he went to Medina and became a warlord. And when he was in Medina, the second part of his career as a prophet, those tend to be the most violent passages in the Quran. So as I thought about this concept of abrogation, I'm thinking about Islam and its connection with Thomas Jefferson and the Barbary Pirates. I thought, what if the reason Muhammad was assassinated was because he had had a final revelation and he went and shared this revelation with his disciples and they didn't like it because it was going to abrogate all of the other stuff in the Quran and they really wanted to keep this quiet, so they killed him. And that is where we get the full idea for this novel, The Last Patriot. Now, what I'm about to share with you are three, we call them the missing chapters of The Last Patriot. These are three chapters that led up to the prologue, and we had been working on these, and it was decided when we went to press on the actual paper book that we were going to remove these three chapters and use them for something special. And I'm proud to say that the special use of these is for you, our audio listeners, and you are now going to be treated to the first three chapters, the missing chapters, if you will, of The Last Patriot. Chapter 1, Arabian Peninsula, June 632 AD. Abu al-Ashraf was terrified. The hooves of his massive horse pounded across the desert sand and kept time with the rapid beating of his heart. Though the waning night air was cool, both he and his mount were covered in sweat. He was too old for this kind of assignment. Such intrigues were better left to younger men, men who were true believers, not men such as him. Fear coursed through his body. Only once before had he ever felt so afraid. It was decades ago. The master was a fiery young warrior who had attacked his caravan as it traveled the same route he was traveling now. Most were brutally put to the sword, but al-Ashraf was spared. The master could neither read nor write. It was not a skill he cared to learn either. He was too busy enlarging his kingdom and spreading his message. Instead, he installed al-Ashraf, a scribe traveling with the ill-fated caravan, as his personal secretary.